Good morning, church. It is good to see you again. All right. Well, we have songs to sing here this morning, and I am looking forward to them. So let's stand, let's open up in prayer, and let's begin to praise God. Father, we thank you once again that we can be here in church. And now, Father God, our prayer is the same every single week. We want more of you and to be able for you to release your power through us. So, Father, as we come now and we worship you in spirit and in truth, we give you all and everything that we have here, not holding anything back. We thank you, Father God, for just meeting us here once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a call comes ringing over the restless waves, send the light, oh send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, oh send the light. And the golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, oh send the light. And the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, oh send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen.
Oh, worship the shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy's face, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder. And dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Soaring I shall be in spirit, still released from flesh and sin. Yet from what I do inherit, hear thy praises I'll begin. Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. How his kindness yet pursues me, mortal tongue can never tell. Clothed in flesh till death shall lose me, I cannot proclaim it well. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed in blood, washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. Songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. the weak say, I am strong. In the strength of the Lord, I will trust in you.
Those are some good words, are they not?
Hey, Lord, yes.
We are singing our faith. Psalm 31.
Salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your thoughts upon Jesus, think deep of his wonderful love. And the thoughts of sin and of self and strife will be lost in that rapture above. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own. Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, and death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Amen.
It is important to finish well in life, not just, you know, financially, but spiritually. Every single week at the end of the sermon outline, it says, remember, it's not how you begin your salvation or you start your salvation, but how you finish it. And that's what this song is talking about. And when my task on earth is done, and when by grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. How? By His hand.
Trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
I will praise Him.
will serve Him. I 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 will serve Him. He's my Savior. 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 He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy, He is worthy. Lord, we love You. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. The Lord gave me a little word today, so I'm going to share what He gave to me. Remember when Jesus was talking to the apostles and He asked them, who do men say that I am? And they told Him various thoughts. And then Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, The Holy Spirit has revealed that unto you. And upon this rock I will build my church. And so this is the church that is built upon that foundation, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And God told all the apostles to wait, and all the believers to wait, for the coming of the Holy Spirit, so they would have power, so that they could be witnesses, and so that they could obey the Lord and preach the gospel to all creatures. And so this is the church that we're in right now. And they didn't get it in the Old Testament. It wasn't available. And so praise the Lord. We are here and we are part of this church. It is a living body with Jesus as the head. And we are the living stones that are placed one upon the next. And we are to work together as a living organism with the Holy Spirit guiding us. And God has been really wonderful to give us gifts and ministries. He said that there are diversities of gifts and administrations and operations, and that everyone in the body has been assigned a position. There is no one who has the assignment of sitting in a chair and folding their hands. There is no one, absolutely no one, who has been neglected in the passing out of gifts. We know that our Heavenly Father is good, and He gives good gifts. And He gives us the ministries that we desire to do. If we desire to pray for people to be healed, you know it's because He put that gift in you. If we desire to preach the gospel to the unsaved, then you know that's your ministry because that's your desire. If you desire to teach people, that's what God wants you to do. He puts those desires in your heart so that He can fulfill them. So the Lord, I think, wants us to all examine ourselves and see if we are being very active, lively stones and doing the work that He has given us. There is none too small to serve the Lord. I'm sure little David and Isaac and Andrew can serve the Lord at their age. They do already. I've heard some good things from their father about comments that they've made in public. And they are witnessing to the Lord. And so none of us is too insignificant to do the work, but we need to continually seek Him so that we can grow in that and produce more. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord, and good morning to you. Before we take our children out to the Sunday school, I would like for the whole church to be here today. Excuse me. I'm doing fine singing, praising God, and so I'm going to be fine here. Soteris, I got water down there. Thank you. Soteris, we send greetings to you, and we'll be praying for you today. And to those of you that are watching us, Soteris is not here today. He's still a little bit under the weather. But hopefully by the end of next week, we should have him back up and running again. So we appreciate that. I want to talk to you about the perfect storm. The perfect storm. The last 2 weeks, a week and a half after we got into July, suddenly our income took a nosedive that I have not seen in a long time. And a number of people that normally gives at the beginning of the month, their gifts did not come in. The income in the church was kind of low. And at the same time, the bills were there, rent and so on. And I was asking God, what are we going to do? And he told me that today you're going to have the congregation to pray in a special way. I'm going to share a few things with you, and then I'm going to ask everyone, including the children, to stand up with me here and pray today before we take the offering. I contacted a few people that normally gives money, and I found out that some of them have been hit. They couldn't give as early because they didn't have the finances. Other people had bank problems, and other people might have been on vacation. So the perfect storm hit when we simply came down to an absolute standstill. Now, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I shared with you the joy that we have got $1,000 extra for the taxes. And we're going to pray that. Well, guess what? We had to come up with a mortgage Thursday, and the money was not there. There went the tax money. Because otherwise, we will be in foreclosure on the production center. Now, some of you might say, you know, why do you have financial trouble? Well, I wish I could tell you. And if you know it, let me know. But here's what I wrote in my thank you letter, and also in my latest article we got up on the website. God called Moses. There's no doubt about that. God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. But catch this now. If the people had not rallied around Moses, there would have been no Exodus. They would still be in Egypt, the offspring. God called King David and said, I want you to be king of Israel. But if the people had not rallied around King David, he would have been king over nothing. As I prayed about things yesterday and woke up early this morning, I was at a little gathering yesterday, and there was a person there, and I asked the person, where do you go to church? And the person told me and said, this is my pastor. I said, well, I know that guy. I met him 20 years ago. And I said, how are things going? And the lady said, oh, we're doing great. We've opened 6 satellite churches. We are on television. We are on radio. I said, what radio station are you on? She said, we are on so many, I can't remember. And she said, we just bought a huge ranch in the Stockton-Lodi area so that we can have a program for children that have been, that need a home, a foster home of care. And I thought about this. I said, God, where are you in my life? This church is having an abundance. They have close to 10,000 people rallying around, and God is blessing them. And then the name came to me, Francis Schaefer. Those of you that are younger might not remember Francis Schaefer, but he was a Presbyterian pastor here in the United States, a theologian, and he tried to bring the church back to biblical principles. And Francis Schaefer was never able to rally the church. 1948, his wife moved to Switzerland. And he opened a ministry they called La Brie, where they had people come in and they ministered to a few people here and there and yonder. And then he died. He was a scholar. His writings, Christian Manifesto and all the things that he wrote, absolutely brilliant, to the point. But the world decided not to rally around Francis Schaefer. And he's gone. His work is gone with him. I wrote this in my thank you letter and also my article, that if the people do not rally around Resurrection Life of Jesus Church and around me as a pastor, then we're not going anyplace. I've just come out with an article about Chris Lamb, which is now beginning to sweep our churches here in North America. And there are very few people speaking up. So here's what I'm going to ask you today that are watching us. If you have given, God bless you. If you have not given, would you consider today to stand with this congregation, go to our website, and send a gift to our ministry? It would be greatly appreciated. So right now, I'm going to ask everyone in this room to stand in front of me here. Little one, children, even roll up the stroller if you can. Let's just gather up here as we're going to seek the Lord right now. Just try to come up a little bit closer here as you are in the center here. Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, I am doing exactly right now what you told me to do in the vision you gave me this morning. That I've gathered the people here, Lord. Just like they did in Israel, Father God, when they came with the little ones and cried out to you in their need. And Father God, there's no surprise in heaven. You know all things. And Father God, you know that we have not had enough people rally around us. And Father God, I heard the words this week, when are you going to pay the rest of the rent? I said, I don't know, but I try my best. So Father God, my hands are bound. I try to preach, write, do the things. This church, Father God, they are rallying. They're praying, fasting, seeking you, Lord. And today, hear our prayer right now. And I thank you, Father God, that you're going to open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, Father God, that our coffers will be full, that we can pay all our bills, Lord, and to do what you have called us to do. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I bless you. And I glorify your name. In Jesus' name. And those of you gathered here said, amen, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
At this time, the people at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church are giving their tithes and offerings as part of the worship service. You too can participate even if you're not physically with us by writing out a check and mailing it, or using the donation link at the bottom of the homepage. Please remember that God uses His people to finance His work on this earth. God gives us the ability to work and make money, and in return asks that His people give back a tenth. Thank you for being obedient and being part of our service.
Be seated. We have a prayer time, and I got two requests that we're going to pray for today. One is about the oil. Let me just read that to you. As I stated before, the oil market is in the hands of the ruthless world government leaders, and the order of the day is to raise the price and the cost. Tapping into the oil reserves, as ordered by Barack Obama, is welcomed by these evil leaders. Depleting the strategic oil reserve in the United States is going to make us more dependent on foreign oil and the world government. The price of oil fell that week, but then the evildoers got it right back up again after having depleted some of America's oil reserve. The price of oil ended up at $96.20 per barrel, an increase of $1.26 from the previous week. Now let us do aggressive prayer for confusion and grip of evil world government leaders, that they will become insane and sabotage their own agenda. Then we got a request from Georgia. This is from Mitch Barrett. She's battling arthritis. Let us pray that God will heal her of that ailment. She has Henry White's book, has done all there is to clear any hindrance in her life. You're going to pray that God will heal her. Also pray for her son Tim, who has undergone a divorce and is struggling with a huge child support. So let's have people come up here and help us to pray as we seek the Lord.
Father, we thank you that we can come before your throne of grace to obtain mercy. And right now I just pray for Sharon Albertson. She wanted us to pray for her. She's getting deliverance this week. She's starting Wednesday, and so we pray that everything will be according to your will, Lord, and that she will be completely set free. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Father God, want to lift up Midge Barrett to you and this arthritis, Lord. We know that arthritis is not of, it doesn't come from you, or it's not something we're born with. Or we just get along the way. But it is demonic. And it is a brought upon people for certain areas in their life that they haven't dealt with, Lord. And so we come against that arthritis in the name of Jesus. And we pray that it will be destroyed. And we thank you, Father, that she will be able to examine every detail, reject that arthritis, and receive total healing. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father God, I just come to you this morning, Lord God, giving you all the praise and honor and glory for this day. And Lord, I I also thank you for giving us the finances and the money to be able to pay for this high price of gas that we have to pay for. And Lord, I know that in my heart, the way I feel right now, Lord God, that you are in charge of what's going on. And but yet, you've allowed certain things to transpire as far as the prices of gas and oil to be high right now. And Lord God, that Obama's wanting to deplete the reserves here in the United States, that could virtually lead us into a situation of rationing gas prices again. And Lord God, so I'm not going to be deceived by what is going on by the administration and by the people that are trying to raise the oil prices and gas prices to make millions and billions of dollars on it at the hand of the people that have to pay for the fuel. Lord God, I come against all demonic entities, all demonic forces, against the evil doers of the world that are trying to manipulate the prices. And Lord God, I lay it before your feet that you will intervene and that you will bring confusion against the people that are not being fair and honest and upright. And so, Lord God, I just give you all the praise and honor and glory in knowing that you are totally in control. And that gives me peace in my heart. So I praise you and I thank you, Lord God, for this day. And I thank you, and I'm waiting on the sidelines to see what you do. And I just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I want to come before you to lift up this ministry, Father God. Heavenly Father, that we'd be able to minister to more and more people each week, each day. Father God, that your word, that the truth will be scattered out through all the nations of this world, Heavenly Father. We praise you and we thank you, Father God. Let people come to the truth. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Father God, I also lift up this church, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, and everyone that makes up this church, which are people, not just chairs and furniture, but people that are living organisms, and we're all working towards one end. We all want to see people saved and delivered. And in this world, and this especially in the United States right now, deliverance is not being done like it should be, because there's so many demons in the churches running the churches and deceiving the people that the demons are taking over. And so nobody's asking for deliverance because they don't understand they need it. But Father, when they see themselves emotional rages and uncontrolled tempers and horrible outbursts of emotions that are not wholesome and not good, they better know they've got demons, and they better seek deliverance, because if they don't, the demons are going to take them straight to hell. So Father God, help us to get the message out. Thank you for Pastor John's writings that have been so explicit and so good, and have helped so many people, Lord God, including myself. And Father, help the books to be purchased. Help people to want deliverance. Help them to give them a curiosity, if nothing else, so that they investigate it and see what it's all about. Because if they don't, they're likely to be pulled into deception also. And Father, protect our little children from the deceptions around them and from people that they meet from day to day that may not know you. And we just put a protection over those children, Lord God, all of our children in the church, that you would watch over them and keep them from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we lift up also Tim Barrett to you, Lord, that you will bless him with his finances, Father God, that he'll be able to pay the child support that he owes, Father God, and that he will be employed, Lord, and he will have the means so he can take care of what he has to take care of, Father. And we thank you for that. And Father God, we lift up Sotiris to you right now. We thank you, Father God, that you are healing him, that you are comforting him, strengthening him, Lord. And that, Father God, he shall not succumb, but he shall actually be greater in strength and power than he was before, Lord, as he will be healed of this thing he's been dragging around for 30 years. And we praise you for that. And Father God, I want to lift up John Peterson to you again. I want to thank you, Father God, that you're working with this man in Sweden, that he had a great week, that, Father God, he is rejoicing. And, Lord, he's looking forward to having the demon finally thrown out. And we pray, Father God, that that company that called him for employment will call back, Father God, so that he will have a job very shortly, Father God, so that he can buy a ticket, fly here, Lord, get delivered, and be set free and go back and to tear up Sweden, Father God, and kicking demons out, and share the gospel, because that this man, Father God, is anointed, he's powerful, he's intelligent. Lord, he loves you. And that man has been bound by Satan for many years, but the chains are breaking, and this firebrand is going to be set free. And we thank you, Father God, we can be part of that. We praise you now that every prayer spoken here now has been heard. And we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated.
Okay, we're going to take a few testimonies. Jane?
Good morning. I just wanted to give a testimony that I work a little job doing house cleaning, or apartment cleaning. And, you know, I do office work at home and things like that for my husband. But this week I had to step in and be the on-duty manager at the complex. And it was difficult. I had to do reports, electronic bank deposits, deal with tenants, and really step out of my comfort zone. And she had showed me things a couple of times, you know, but not really trained me. But praise God, you know, it's just like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And God really helped me get through this week and give her a blessing, because her son was sick, really sick, and she had to leave and go see him. And so I was able to be the person she needed to fill in, so she could go see her children and deal with what she needed to. And, you know, when you're trying to bless somebody else, the devil's always there to step in and try to squish it. And, you know, that happened once, but God gave me the strength there to overcome it with dignity and grace and be merciful and go on. And I just... And my husband's been really good about letting me be away from home more and not cook my meals that I should cook and do the things I need to do at home to help this woman be away from the job. But when she gets back, I'm looking forward to going back to cleaning the apartments and not being the apartment manager no more. But I think that is just God, you know, God giving me grace and growing me up. And helping me to be a blessing. And in being in that position, I was able to witness to the other apartment manager and talk about God and how he works in our lives. And it was like a win-win situation. Even though it really made me tired mentally and physically, I think God got the glory. And I just praise God for that and my husband for helping me.
I'll read a little scripture that helped me out this week, because I needed a little grace myself. And so I'll read that. It's in Hebrews chapter 4. And sometimes we all need a little grace, I think. So basically it's Hebrews 4:16, but I read the whole chapter of Hebrews 4 several times. But it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So I was able to apply that this week quite a bit in my life. And I turned my phone on here because I wanted to share a text message that I got earlier in the week from an employee. And it kind of surprised me a little bit. And normally I use the phone, but more and more I find myself using text messages. And it gets to be more popular. For those of you that don't text message, you'll catch up one of these days. Okay. So anyway, I got a message that said from this employee who's not a born again believer. He said, let's see. Well, it started out like this. He said, "What are the plans for today?" You know, he's wanting to know if we have any work. And I sent back another text that said, "No lath ready. We got the job in Ukiah. We'll start soon. Working on other jobs. Pricing is still too low." And then he sent, "I know that prices are low, but we have faith in God that will help us come out ahead." And that kind of surprised me, being he's not a believer. So it lets you know that the faith that you're projecting is actually reaching these people. And then I sent back another text that says, "That is a good text. I knew I had faith, but I didn't know you did. But I am glad to hear you do. He always provides for his that are faithful." That was it. He never texted me back after that. So anyway, I was kind of, I got a kick out of that, and I was blessed by that. So those that are not born again, they're sure paying attention though, some of them. Okay, I have two, three. Boy, I got all kinds of them. So, I forgot your name.
John.
No, not John. Did you say John? You have a testimony?
No, my name is John.
Oh, no, I'm not looking at you. Luba.
My testimony is not a major one, but I think I deserve a major credit. Since probably April, we have a lot of visits coming to our house. And the last month, just June, we have at least three visitors for a period of time. And so the last one was my sister. And she came from Washington, from the border with Canada. When she came to our house, and she told me how horrible the road was. And as she drove through the Shasta, if you've been there, you know that the roads are curvy. And, you know, she was driving by herself. And, you know, we girls are getting scared in those situations. She said, "I screamed. It was so scary." And, you know, all the emotions and everything. And she goes, "I screamed at some point at the top of my lungs." And so when she's done with her visit, she goes, "Oh, I have to go back." And the anxiety flies through the roof, and she's all nervous. And about 12 o'clock noon, we're sitting eating, getting together, and, you know, getting ready to leave. And before the meal, I asked my husband, I said, "Okay, let's pray, especially pray for the road." And he goes, okay. So we prayed and we went outside in the car and I go, can you pray one more time? He goes, no, I already said everything. So I said, you know, I feel like, can you pray? And he goes, what, God is going to do something else? I already said everything. So we're standing like kind of away from the people and he goes, I already said everything. I said, well, I just feel like I need another prayer. And he prayed and maybe just my emotions and my that anxiety from my sister was kicking in. But anyway, she left and about 4 hours later she calls me. She goes, you know what? I'm almost at the border of Oregon and I didn't see those mountains. And I go, what do you mean all those, the rows that you were telling me you're screaming? He goes, you know what? Actually, they were so straight. I never seen it, but the roads were straight, and I was just peaceful, drove through, didn't see any of it. I didn't see those cliffs. I wasn't seeing anything scared that my car can fall into, and no imagination was playing tricks on me. And I go, wow. Then the next day, she made it all the way home, and she told me, "Because wow, the road was great." And I go, yeah, praise God. So.
Okay, she should get a motorcycle, and you learn to love those kind of roads. Okay, Irene.
Good morning. I just wanted to emphasize on one thing that have been in my heart for the last few weeks. In the world, there's everything important, but one thing was like when you see the epistles that Paul wrote to us. It was a constant pursuing of knowing Christ. And he had this encounter with him, of course, we know, at the road of Damascus. But then after that, even with all that he has been able to understand, he was always hungry for knowing more and more of him. And all that he had and all that he achieved in that religious system, he said in Philippians, he said he called it like refuse. He didn't hold to all the things that were so precious to him, but he was always seeking to know him. And that is, I think that is like an example for the life of anybody that is in Christ. Because like I was sharing with a friend of mine over the phone, it's not what we do for him is what he does in us and through us. It's Christ in me, my hope of glory to the Father, and that the Father will be glorified in the Son and his body. Because as we are part of his body, we can only glorify the Father through the Son. And that is Christ in us, and that reality to know him more and more. And let his life, the resurrection life of Christ living in every moment, at every time. And this is actually how the gift will operate. And that's the way that we will know that this is the right thing to do at that moment. I had, this is my testimony now. I'm going to read the scripture, but I had an email from a relative and she sent me a lot of different things and I sometimes answer, sometimes not. And then this email was sent. It was a religious Catholic bizarre message that should be sent to 20 people right away. And it was a painting of this, the Lord Jesus kind of funny with all this extra thing. And, it was bizarre. And I wanted to delete that. And I was kind of in my heart. I was feeling uncomfortable. But then the Lord said to me, this is an opportunity. Go ahead and write to her. Go for the message of salvation and the new birth. And then a few other scriptures. And then at the end said, this is the message and this is the image that we should look at. And that painting of this Christ, this with all this stuff. And I didn't say anything else. I didn't say this is wrong, this is right, you should do this. I just confronted what is written. And this is living by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gives himself for us. It is the life of Christ and his life in us that we do the difference, not what we try to do to please God. And this is what Paul was saying here. He said, well, of course, he counted everything not worthy for the knowledge of him. He was seeking him. I counted all loss for Christ, yet doubtless, and I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but waste, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That's how we live. We have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but it's not us, but Christ living in us. And the life that we live in this body, we live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and died for us. So he said, which is by faith, this is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, but by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. And this is exactly what I think is just like the times right now and all the situations around us and the people that need to hear the truth and need to receive the truth. It's not that what we say, is that Christ be revealed through us in for them to know that he really is alive. And that's why the New Testament is a precious book. And I was trying to get some more New Testaments, but the King James Version is very hard to find. There are not that many in the bookstore. So get it and read it. Thank you.
Okay, any more testimonies? Okay, Lois.
This is a testimony I've wanted to give for years, but now I can. My nephew and niece have received Jesus, and my nephew especially, he's just really gung-ho. And I told him, you know, I advised him that he should only read the King James Version. He says, oh, that's the one I chose. That's the one I like. He says, it's really a lot better than any of those other ones. And so he's into it solidly. How this happened, how I found out about it was some time ago, about a year or 2 years ago, I was witnessing to him, and he was challenging Christianity as a religion and challenging the truth of it and that Jesus was the Son of God. And I gave him, through the Holy Spirit, because I don't remember that many verses that I can just snap them off like I used to. But that night, every time he opened his mouth, I gave him scripture afterwards. So that was the Holy Spirit putting it in my mouth, because I quoted scriptures that I had long forgotten, and they just came fluidly, just instantly. And by the time we finished our conversation, which lasted about 30 minutes, right in front of his mother. She was sitting there. She just sat there and kept quiet. And in the end, he said, I said, do you have any more questions? He said, and he was crying, and he said, no, you've disarmed me. Now, he's in his 50s, my nephew, so he's no baby. He's been into New Age and all kinds of different isms and things, just, you know, not really into it, but investigating them and all this for years. And so one day I had been sending him some different things from the scripture and some things that were written that were really good and would explain some of his questions. And he wrote back to me, emailed back to me in just total scripture right out of the King James Version. And everything I had said to him, he came back with scripture on it. So then I got a hold of him and found out. And he told me, yes, he had a very wonderful experience with Jesus when he asked him to confirm to him that he was the Son of God. And Jesus did it. And his sister, then he was talking to his sister, and I guess she had received Jesus through her mother down where she lives in San Diego County. And this all happened close together. And he was telling his sister, Lynn, all of his experiences and stuff, and all of a sudden he said to his mother, is she jealous of me or something? She's trying to copy me. And she says, no, she believes like you do. And he said, oh, well, that's good. When did that happen? And so anyway, now they have scriptural battles, little battles, and that almost got into a fight the other day. And finally they resolved it, you know, but it was almost funny because they were so intense that they were arguing and trying to each one be the one that had the right answers, you know. So it just glorified my heart. I just am so pleased because I've been praying for them for many years. But you know what really convinced them, Rob told me, wasn't my words so much, and it was the scripture too, and it was the God's answers to his questions. But most of the thing that caused him to come to the Lord, he said, was my life, because he knew me before deliverance and he knew me after deliverance. And it was the change in my life that really got through to the kids, the children. So I praise God.
Okay, we're going to close. Father God, thank you for this day, for the opportunity to come here, Lord, and to take part in this teaching and in worship service. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you, Father, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love you. We know that the finances are on the way. We know that you're going to carry us through. So we thank you for that, Lord, that we have the faith to believe it, and we will see it taking place. And we just praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up, stand up. For Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.